To Sferio, the local voice of your hemisphere. It's Amy with you at the moment. I'm the only one in the studio at the moment, but I will be joined later on by the fabulous Kendra Johnson. It's February 29th. Don't get to say that very often. Pretty exciting. We're going to try to present for you in its entirety an interview with activist Diana Gomez. She is a Colombian activist fighting for human rights and the rights of the disappeared in Colombia. And if all things go according to my plans here, we will be playing that for you with interpretation. We're going to have as well a little update on what you can do about things happening in the world in the human rights struggle and how you can get involved in that. And of course, because we're Sferio, we must also play you music from around your hemisphere. And in fact, we're going to go ahead and start with a little bit of that. Let's skip right over the news today. I can do that because Freud's not here. Ha ha ha. So we'll transition out of the mellow Argentinian-Brazilian jazz that is our theme song. Of course, Tango Carioca from Ricardo Silveira. And we're going to move right on into something of a very different nature. This is Suburbio Latino from Zona Marginal, Colombian hip-hop, here at WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge. You know, I almost forgot to do the thing that we usually do at the beginning, where I go, if you have anything that you want to talk to us about, or if you have comments or anything and you want to talk to us, you can call us at 617-253-8810. And don't forget that the views and the opinions that are expressed on Sferio, as with all the other programming on WMBR, is not necessarily reflective of the views and opinions of the staff of MIT, WMBR, or the Technology Broadcasting Corporation? Institute? Oh my god, I forgot that word. You get the point, right? Okay, Zona Marginal, call us. Si quieren llamarnos, se puede a 617-253-8810.
Mi ley de historia tengo yo para contar, que si empezara ahora no pensaría en terminar. Muchas veces te preguntas por qué la vida es así. La respuesta hoy está aquí, la vida da muchas vueltas, no sabemos qué nos espera. Un día tú estás vivo y otro tirado en la acera. Parece que vivir en estos tiempos no tiene sentido.
En el mar de la desesperanza muchos han caído.
En este lado del charco las cosas no mejoran, al contrario, cada día que pasa empeoran. Acá sobrevivimos, ni siquiera sabemos cómo. La comida diaria de los campesinos es el plomo.
Hay más centros policiales que universidades.
No solo es una canción, son las sufridas realidades. Jovencitas de 13 años, embarazadas, sin nada de educación y desempleadas. Jóvenes perdidos en las drogas y en el alcohol, quitándose las vidas por mantener el control de un territorio. X o Y o ABCD, muchas veces mueren sin ni siquiera saber por qué.
Ama la tierra en que naciste, ámala, es una y nada más. Lucha por tu dignidad, esos sueños que un día tuviste, no los dejes derrumbar, que el mañana ya vendrá.
La corrupción sigue siendo siendo parte de los gobernantes, los que continúan sus nexos con los narcotraficantes. El SIDA y las grandes enfermedades ganan más adeptos, y el suburbio latino siguen aportando muertos. Pero esta gente, mi gente, si tu propia gente la sigue acompañando la ruleta de la mala suerte.
Pocas escuelas y colegios que quedan los cierran,
porque no hay plata, pero hay plata para la guerra en aumento. Los asentamientos subnormales en terrenos privados construyen ranchos ilegales, pero ¿de qué vale? Si ahí mismito el policía sale, el comandante le ordena que bolillo le regale. Se armó el tropel, gases lacrimógenos, tiros pa' los rocas. No hay de otra, copa, defenderse toca. Y al final, aquel que buscaba donde dormir, vivir y sobrevivir, ha sido detenido y será preso por exigir lo que le pertenece, lo que su ley le ofrece. Y así quieren que la violencia cese. Condenado por rebelión, terrorismo y subversión, otro más que cae a prisión por huevón. Mientras tanto, su familia, sus hijos y su mujer a la calle de nuevo han ido a caer. Ahí están en las grandes avenidas y tú los ves, pero no conoces de sus vidas.
Ama la tierra en que naciste, ámala, es una y nada más. Lucha por tu dignidad, esos sueños que un día tuviste, no los dejes derrumbar, que el mañana ya vendrá.
Esos problemas se viven en todas las ciudades, y los afectados son los pobres, sin excepción de edades. La tasa de desempleo está disminuyendo, porque la gente en la guerra trabajo está consiguiendo. Robar, secuestrar, torturar, asesinar
son los únicos empleos que te ofrecen, no hay de más.
Verás si te quedas o te vas. Como no quieres morir de hambre, no lo dudarás. Un violento más, se aleja más la paz, y un pueblo en la agonía sale a gritar no más. Pero no hay quien escuche, quien reciba el mensaje.
A los burócratas no les interesa lo que pase.
¿Qué más se hace? El problema acá es de clase. Tu destino está planeado desde que tú naces, y si eres de los de acá, pues serás de los de acá. Y por mucho que lo intente, no podrás ser de los de allá. No tendrás oportunidad, es la verdad. Asómate a la calle, date cuenta de la realidad. Sin empleo, sin acceso a la universidad, sin salud, sin comida, sin vivienda, no tiene nada. Despertá, que volá, cámara, lucha.
En el suburbio del mundo se ha vuelto el sur de América.
Es hora de defender nuestra dignidad por la igualdad y por la libertad.
Troubadour, it's blues, bluegrass, and vintage folk. It's 1950s country and rhythm and blues. Troubadour plays roots music without bounds or barriers. Thursday, 2 to 4 p.m. at WMBR, Cambridge.
You'll leave so lonely, you could die.
Together and cut their phones.
background. Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. Check it out. What if we all stop paying taxes? Gonna let that fade down here in the background. We're going to give you, as I promised, now this interview with Diana Gomez, a Colombian activist who is in town recently. We're going to try and do this a little bit the old-fashioned way. I'm going to play a little bit of the interview in Spanish, and then we're going to put it into English for you, which will be done with my beautiful voice. So bear with me. And then, as I said before, we will also in a little bit be having some updates, starting a new feature at Sferio, updates from the MIT Amnesty International chapter, what you can do to get involved in the struggle for human rights worldwide. That'll be coming up later. Let us say goodbye now to Sharon Jones. Thank you, Sharon Jones. And say hello to Kendra, virtually, and Diana Gomez.
Soy Kendra de Sferio. Aquí estoy en el estudio con una invitada muy especial que viene a Boston a visitarnos de su país, de Colombia. Se llama Diana Gomez. Es una antropóloga, historiadora y parte del Movimiento para Derechos Humanos en Colombia. Diana, bienvenida aquí a Sferio.
Buenas tardes. Muchísimas gracias por la invitación.
Gracias a usted, Diana. Tiene mucho que contarnos, pero pienso que antes de empezar con los específicos de su trabajo y de lo que la historia que pasó con su padre, que primero si nos puede contar un poco de la situación hoy en día en Colombia y sobre todo con las mujeres, que aquí en los Estados Unidos sí sabemos algo de los conflictos que todavía hay en Colombia y cómo siguen. Pero, ¿cómo está afectando a la gente, a las mujeres, y qué es la situación de mujeres en Colombia?
Bueno, Colombia.
So this is Kendra, of course, doing an interview with Diana Gomez, anthropologist, historian, and Colombian human rights activist. We're welcoming Diana to Boston, and of course, this is Amy doing the English translation, so it'll be a bit of a summary here and there for you. If you're not following us along in Spanish. Kendra starts the interview by wanting to know a little bit about what is going on specifically with the situation of Colombian women. And later in the interview, we will talk about what happened specifically with Diana's father that got her involved in this movement.
Tiene un conflicto bastante complejo y este conflicto tiene implicaciones en diferentes actores de la sociedad colombiana. Uno de ellos es las mujeres, quienes sufren de manera específica la guerra y la violencia. Existen altos índices de violación de mujeres por parte de los actores armados, incluido paramilitares, guerrilla y ejército. Pero además de eso, en medio de la guerra y del conflicto, las mujeres también han sido forzadas al ejercicio de la prostitución, a practicarse abortos o a tener hijos de manera forzada. Igualmente, Colombia, como cualquier conflicto, tiene como principal guerrero a los hombres, y las mujeres han sido en Colombia en gran porcentaje quienes han soportado los hogares, las familias y el desplazamiento forzado. Somos las mujeres por lo general las que quedamos y nos ponemos al frente de los casos de vulneración de derechos humanos y quienes exigimos justicia, y en casos de desaparición forzada también somos quienes buscamos a nuestros seres queridos, así como con las víctimas del secuestro.
Mm-hmm.
So Colombia has a very complex armed conflict going on, and that conflict has impacted different sectors of Colombian society. One of these sectors is, of course, women who suffer from the war in specific ways, one of them being rape, which is being perpetrated by all sides of the conflict, including the paramilitary, the guerrilla, the army. But in addition to this, women have also been forced into prostitution. They have been forced to have abortions and to have children against their will. As well, Colombia, like any other country in conflict, has soldiers who are primarily men. It is the women who've been primarily responsible for supporting them, taking care of the home front, dealing with forced displacements of families from one location to another. Usually it is us, the women, who are putting ourselves on the line for the human rights struggle and who demand justice. In the case of forced disappearances, we're also the ones who go out looking for our loved ones, and we do that in kidnapping cases as well. And Sferio editorializing here for a minute. You know, in some places of the world, there are actually differences between these two things. Here in the U.S., we have a hard time imagining this, but there are disappearances in which you have no hope of possibly seeing your loved one again, really. And then there are kidnapping cases in which the people who have taken hold of your loved one are very specific that they want X amount of money in order for you to see them again alive. And in Colombia, both of these things are very big human rights issues at the moment.
Así, pues, hemos visto en muchas partes del mundo que cuando hay conflictos, aunque pensamos en los hombres que están peleando y tal vez muriendo unos de la guerra, pero es verdad que son las mujeres que la mayoría de las veces sufren la mayoría de las circunstancias ahí en sus casas. Y cuéntame, Diana, usted ha trabajado con varias organizaciones en Colombia con una situación tan difícil para las mujeres. ¿Qué es lo que están haciendo las organizaciones?
En Colombia existe una amplia expresión del movimiento social de mujeres con varias iniciativas. Existen muchísimas organizaciones que trabajan por la paz, la resolución del conflicto, entre ellas la Ruta Pacífica de las Mujeres, la Organización Femenina Popular, la Confluencia de Mujeres Democracia y Paz, de la cual hago parte, la Iniciativa Mujeres Colombianas por la Paz, entre otras organizaciones de mujeres que trabajan por la resolución del conflicto y que también se preguntan por cómo solucionarlo, pero también por visibilizar las afectaciones específicas de las mujeres en esta guerra.
So, in Colombia, Kendra says, we understand that, you know, as in many conflicts around the world, the traditional thing is to think about men fighting and so on, but we know that women are very organized in Colombia. Can you tell us a little bit about what people have been doing, specifically women's organizations in Colombia, given the difficult circumstances that women find themselves in? Diana Gomez says that there is, in fact, quite a variety of women's organizations doing many different initiatives, and they are involved in working for peace or specifically working to end the conflict, to end the violence. Diana gives us a long list of organizations, which I'm not going to try and translate into English for you. But she says, you know, there are many of us, we're all working to end the conflict, and then asking ourselves, how do we solve this problem? And also, how do we give more visibility to the specific ways in which women are affected by this war?
¿Y cómo buscan, cuál tipo de solución están buscando?
La vía, consideramos, y creo que esto es un consenso, es la negociación del conflicto. Para eso consideramos que es necesario que las partes se sienten a negociar. Creemos ahora más que nunca que es necesario un acuerdo humanitario, que deben primar las vidas de los seres humanos más que razones políticas, y hacemos un llamamiento constante a esto. Pero también buscamos medidas para disminuir las afectaciones mientras el conflicto sigue ahí activo, porque sabemos que el conflicto no se va a acabar de la noche a la mañana. Y una de las maneras es visibilizando lo que pasa con las mujeres, pero también tratando de incidir en distintas políticas públicas o en distintos escenarios de participación política.
So, what sort of solutions are you looking for then? Diana says, we've thought about how to do it, and we consider that it's necessary for all sides of the conflict to sit down to dialogue. We feel it's more important than ever now to focus on a humanitarian solution that centers around human rights, not just the political needs of the people involved in the struggle in Colombia. So we're always calling for that. But we're also looking for ways to minimize the effect of the conflict while it continues, because we know that this conflict isn't just going to end overnight. One of the ways we can do this is by publicizing what's happening to women, but also trying to take on different public policies or different types of political participation as well. Kendra is going to shift the conversation now to a more personal question. We understand that you and your family, Diana, have directly suffered the consequences of human rights violations in this conflict. And we'd like to know, we know you've had personal experience. Could you tell us specifically what happened with your father?
Diana, usted en su familia ha sufrido directamente de este conflicto y de sus consecuencias, la violación de derechos humanos, como habíamos dicho que hay un alto índice de violaciones, y usted personalmente en su familia, si tuvo una experiencia con eso, ¿me puede contar lo que pasó con su padre?
Mi padre, Jaime Enrique Gómez, era asesor de la senadora Piedad Córdoba, una de las opositores del gobierno de Álvaro Uribe, el presidente actual de la República. Mi padre salió a hacer ejercicio en marzo del 2006, fue desaparecido, duró un mes y dos días desaparecido, y luego sus restos aparecieron en el Parque Nacional en condiciones bastante deplorables. Durante todo el tiempo que lo buscamos hubo inconsistencias en el tratamiento que nos dieron las entidades del Estado y los cuerpos de seguridad. Hubo desinformación permanente por los medios de comunicación, al punto que se dijo que se había tratado de un accidente y no de un homicidio. El presidente de la República, en universidades de Colombia, pero también aquí en Estados Unidos, reunido con los demócratas, dijo que se había tratado de un accidente y que tenía pruebas para demostrarlo. Y Fiscalía, aunque se tardó un año y seis meses, en septiembre del año pasado dio a conocer a la opinión pública que efectivamente se trató de un homicidio.
My father, Jaime Enrique Gómez, was legal counsel for Senator Piedad Córdoba, one of the senators who expressed opposition to Álvaro Uribe, the current president of the Republic of Colombia. He went out to exercise one day in March of 2006, and he was disappeared. He remained disappeared for a month and 2 days, and finally his remains were discovered in quite a deplorable condition in the national park. During the entire time that we were searching for him, there were many discrepancies in what the federal agencies and the security forces told us about his disappearance. We even were given misinformation from the national media, up to the point that we were told that he had died from an accident and not from homicide. The president of the Republic himself, at the University of Colombia and also here in the United States in some conversations he had with Democrats, said that this death had been an accident and that he had evidence to prove it. But the Attorney General's office, although it took them a year and a half, announced publicly in September that it had in fact been homicide.
De un homicidio. Pero todavía no saben quién fue el culpable.
No, lastimosamente Colombia tiene unos altos índices de impunidad, que no es solo en el caso de mi padre, sino de muchos dirigentes de oposición, de izquierda, defensores de derechos humanos que han sido asesinados y no se han identificado ni móviles ni responsables. Y en otros casos, aunque se identifiquen a los responsables, se buscan también estrategias para que estos no paguen digamos, la culpa que tienen, y por eso no hay aplicación de justicia en el país.
So, Kendra says, so they said it was a homicide, but they still don't know who's guilty of it, right? Diana says, no. Sadly, Colombia has such a high index of impunity that with all of these crimes, not just in my father's case, but in the case of human rights workers, of union activists, of other leftists, and so on, the people responsible have never been identified. And in other cases, even when the guilty parties have been identified, then they try to find strategies so that those people do not have to pay in any way for the crimes that they've committed. So that's why we say that there's no real application of justice in our country. And, of course, you are listening to an interview being translated for you live, although the interview is recorded, with Diana Gomez, activist from a number of different organizations fighting for human rights in Colombia. You're listening to Sferio, the local voice of your hemisphere, and we are broadcasting from the bowels of Walker Memorial Hall here at MIT, going out to the community all throughout Cambridge, Boston, and beyond. You can catch us streaming audio on the web at www.wmbr.org. Si nos están escuchando en español, fíjense que siempre estamos aquí los viernes de las 6 hasta las 7. Somos Sferio, la voz local de nuestro hemisferio, y se puede buscar los otros programas nuestros también en el web. La dirección nuestra es www.mbr.org. Y vamos a poner un poquito de musiquita, solo para interrumpir un poquito, y luego vamos a hablar con una compañera aquí de MIT, quien nos va a hablar de la amnistía, el proyecto de los derechos humanos internacionales y cómo ustedes pueden mantenerse informados e involucrados también. So we're going to give a little bit of music here to break things up, and then we're going to introduce you to a fellow from MIT's Amnesty International, and she will be giving us some news about human rights fighting around the world, and specifically we'll be talking about Bhopal today and how you can get involved. So stick around and listen to the Welfare Poets. Sac passé.
Down Ghana, Bois Kaimun, voodoo ceremony initiating Haitian liberation. Russian waters, Alabalas, there's no taming. Drown the orchestrators of this coup against their nation. Through political isolation, economic asphyxiation, Aristide was destabilized, he wouldn't agree to privatization. That's when the US IMF him with sanctions, ablating the places to the bicentennial celebration. The CIA organized landowners and merchants under Group 184 and convergence. Trained illegal soldiers, putting murderers back into service. Papa Doc Lynchman, Fab Henchman, to which the media was wordless. But the people of Haiti are resilient, their future like their past will be brilliant. Black Jacobins be smashing the myth of white supremacy, both their legacy and destiny. It's time for death.
Salpase, 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 todo el salpase. La boule, la boule, la boule, aplique la boule. Liberté, nous besoin liberté pour pays moué. Haïti, Haïti, chéri. Encore.
Salpase,
salpase, salpase, salpase, tout le monde.
La boule,
la boule, la boule, la boule, I'm hot.
Liberté.
The Welfare Poets, bringing you Sac Passé. We're featuring music today from the Break the Chains CD, a compilation that is specifically brought together by an organization dedicated to fighting international world debt and stopping the World Bank dumping the policies that create inequities, debt cancellation, and so on. That's what we're looking for. This is Amy from Asfadio, of course, and with me here in the studio, I have Jasmine.
Hi.
Say hi again so everybody can hear you. Jasmine's a new voice on Asfadio coming to you here from MIT. She is a representative of MIT's chapter of Amnesty International, and we are inaugurating our Amnesty Urgent Action Minute that we will be doing here for the next foreseeable series of Spherios. And with that, I believe that the idea here is to give you a sense of what some of the stuff is going on that Amnesty is involved in, and really quickly to give you a way that you can do something with your life. All right. Jasmine.
Okay, so I'm going to read things that are going on in Bhopal and give you a brief history of what's going on. So here it goes.
In where?
In Bhopal, India.
Aha.
Not limited to Americas.
That's right. We have a very broad view of our hemisphere here at Spherio.
Okay. That night, December 3rd, 1984. On the night of December 2nd and 3rd, 1984, a Union Carbide plant in Bhopal, India, began leaking 27 tons of the deadly gas throughout the city of Bhopal. 500,000 people were exposed to the gas, and 20,000 people have died to date as a result of their exposure. More than 120,000 people still suffer from ailments caused by the accident and the subsequent pollution at the plant site. The site has never been properly cleaned up, and it continues to poison the residents of Bhopal. 2 years have passed since Prime Minister Manmohan Singh promised to take care of the welfare needs of the Bhopal disaster survivors and pursue justice by all legal means. These promises were made after an arduous 800-kilometer march by the Bhopal survivors and a six-day hunger strike. Since those promises were made, at least 360 people have died from the effects of Dow carbide poisons. The state government 1 year ago finally found a temporary water source for 40% of the needs of the contaminated communities and began building a permanent pipeline for clean water provision. But no healthcare, no income generation schemes, no justice has been seen here. We have seen the twisted bodies of Bhopali children born into this horror and fade away. Today is the 10th day of the Bhopali's long march to New Delhi. Bhopal's survivors set off an arduous 800-kilometer walk to Delhi to assert their basic fundamental rights to justice and a life of dignity and health. When they finally reach Delhi, Bhopali victims of Dow and Union Carbide will remind Prime Minister Manmohan Singh that promises he made 2 years ago concerning economic, social, and medical rehabilitation and provision of clean drinking water are yet to be met. The unfolding disaster in Bhopal has to end now. Experience tells us that the colossal effort of survivors in making this grueling journey will not persuade Indian politicians to fulfill their duty and justice and to humanity. What will persuade them is you. Visit Bhopal.net and find out what you can do, or check out our Amnesty International's meeting on March 12th, 6 p.m. in 5 to 32. We are also sending petitions to the Prime Minister of India. If you want to be part of this, please email mitai-exec@mit.edu. Let me repeat that again, mitai-exec@mit.edu.
Okay. Thank you, Jasmine. Let me just repeat one little part, or let me ask you a question about one little part. We know that you are part of the MIT chapter, but is this a sort of thing that only MIT students could come to, like in terms of the meeting that you're having?
No. So actually, this event is organized by an amazing lady called Aquin. Queenie, and she comes to our meeting daily, and she doesn't go to MIT. But she's in this community. She actually lives like 10 minutes off of here. So she comes to our meeting all the time, and she tells us about this event. And she was actually the one who was organizing it. So anyone can get involved, even people who have graduated from MIT, like people who work for like another company or something, they still come. And it's a community that everyone can get involved and learn about the issue. So it's definitely open to everyone.
Excellent. Okay. So, and tell us one more time, if you would, but slowly, the web information.
Okay, so what
just
you could do...
Just for people who aren't, you know, the MIT savvy types.
Right.
Like myself.
So what you could do is visit bhopal.net, bhopal.net, and there will be a lot of actions that you could get involved yourself in. So just visit there. Some things that you could do is sending a fax. And basically, you don't even have to do anything. All you have to do is write down your name, you know, email address, and just like basic information about yourself, and click the send button, and it'll be sent. And, you know, like it'll definitely make a difference. So definitely keep that in mind.
Excellent. That is our Amnesty Urgent Action Minute, brought to you by Amnesty International MIT chapter. And that was Jasmine, and we're going to be hearing more from her in future Sferios, so stay tuned for that. It's 6:41. Oh, 6:42 now. Okay, it's 6:42 here at WMBR, and we have been running an interview that Kendra did with the activist, Colombian human rights activist, Diana Gomez. And we'd like to play another chunk of that for you here. It looks like, because of the time constraints, that we won't put the whole thing on today, but we'll at least give you the section of the interview that is most related to Diana's personal story. And then what we'll probably do is we will save a little chunk about the free trade agreement for next week. But for now, let's see if we can't go back to Kendra and Diana Kendra, of course, doing this interview in Spanish, and I'm bringing it to you in translation. So the next part that you're going to hear is Kendra talking about, asking Diana about the organization of Sons and Daughters for Memory and Against Impunity. Diana, you told us that you're part of this group and that you work with them. Could you tell us, please, when you got involved with them and why?
Diana, hay una organización en Colombia, el Movimiento de Hijos e Hijas por la Memoria y contra la Impunidad. Y me has dicho que ahora sí formas parte de esta organización y trabajas con ellos. ¿Cuándo decidió meterse en la organización y por qué?
En el tiempo en que estaba buscando a mi papá, en marzo, abril, una integrante de Hijos e Hijas se acercó a contarme que ellos existían. Mi primera reacción fue un poco como mi papá todavía no está muerto, pero luego me siguieron acompañando e invitando a las reuniones, y desde junio del 2006, que fue la fecha de lanzamiento público de Hijos e Hijas, hago parte de esta organización. Es una organización que reúne a hijos de dirigentes de oposición que han sufrido vulneraciones, que sus padres y madres han sufrido vulneraciones a los derechos humanos, han sido desaparecidos, asesinados, y también de otros jóvenes que son conscientes de la necesidad de exigir justicia en Colombia y de que hayan procesos de memoria, porque consideramos que en Colombia se ha invisibilizado la historia de nuestros padres, se ha invisibilizado el exterminio de la oposición política, y que un país que no conoce qué ha sucedido con su historia, que ha sucedido en el pasado, es un país que no tiene muchas posibilidades para construir un mejor futuro. Conscientes de la necesidad de la memoria y de la existencia de justicia, nos reunimos y hacemos trabajo en colegios, en universidades, conmemoraciones, actos públicos, e incidimos en las actividades de los movimientos de víctimas y derechos humanos en el país.
¿Y en la situación actual en Colombia elaboran estas actividades, la promoción de información acerca de esto? A veces le da miedo que va a pasar algo otra vez a los que están organizando, luchando otra vez para la justicia.
I meant to cut that off before she asked that next question. Sorry about that. This is Diana's response to Kendra's question. She says, during the time I was looking for my father, like around March or April, one of their members, the members of the Sons and Daughters for Memory and Against Impunity, came up to me to let me know that their group existed. My first reaction was sort of, well, my dad's not dead yet. But they kept in touch with me, and they kept inviting me to their meetings. And I've been involved now since June of 2006, which is when we had our first public appearance. We're a group of children whose mothers and fathers have been victims of human rights violations. They have either been disappeared or assassinated. And then in addition to us, there are other young people involved as well who are conscious of the need to have justice done in Colombia, and that there be some sort of process for recording the memory of our people. Because in Colombia, our parents' histories have been made invisible. The extermination of the political opposition has been made virtually invisible. And we know that a country that doesn't know its own history is a country that doesn't have much hope for constructing a better future. So we get together and we do work in the schools, in the universities. We hold commemorations for those who've died. We hold public events, and we get people involved in the activities in honor of victims and human rights, and fight for human rights throughout the country. Kendra's next question is what I already played for you. She says, in the kind of the climate that we see now in Colombia, do you ever fear that something else might happen to you, those of you who are organizing against these sorts of activities, those of you who are fighting for justice?
El miedo sí existe, y como somos conscientes de la historia, no queremos que se repita, y no queremos que se repitan nuestros cuerpos. No queremos ser objeto de asesinatos, ni desapariciones, ni de amenazas. Pero lastimosamente, como son las cosas en Colombia, sí han sucedido casos en los que algunos compañeros han tenido que salir de sus regiones de origen, y hechos como que estamos en actos públicos de conmemoración y ocurren digamos, como ciertas intimidaciones, incluso por parte de la fuerza pública, que no deberían ocurrir.
Fear definitely exists, and since we're conscious of history, we don't want history to repeat itself. We obviously don't want our own bodies to be disappeared. We don't want to be the objects of disappearances or assassinations or threats. But unfortunately, the way things are in Colombia, there have been cases where our compañeros have had to leave their hometowns. And since we're involved in public commemorative acts, there have been certain acts of intimidation, we could say, even on the part of the police, that shouldn't have happened at all.
Mm-hmm. Aunque es difícil, siguen así luchando. Me impresiona mucho que están ahí. ¿Qué tan grande es la organización?
Nosotros somos una organización de aproximadamente 80 mujeres y hombres en Bogotá. No siempre nos reunimos los 80, pero sí existe un número significativo. Y hay otros núcleos organizativos en Santa Marta, en la Costa Caribe, en Barranquilla, en Barranca Bermeja, en el Meta, en Antioquia y en otras zonas del norte del país, donde se han comenzado a organizar núcleos y pues mantenemos comunicación permanente y buscamos hacer un trabajo articulado a nivel nacional.
So how many of them are you then? We're a group of approximately 80 men and women in Bogotá. All 80 of us don't always meet, of course, but there's usually a representative number. And there are other chapters in Santa Marta, on the Caribbean coast, in Barranquilla, in Barranca Bermeja, in El Meta, in Antioquia, in the northern part of the country where they're starting to organize. And we try to keep in touch with each other and put forth a unified national policy. Hold on here, I'm pressing the wrong buttons.
Mm-hmm. Diana, aunque oficialmente no saben quién tiene la culpa por la muerte de su padre, ¿usted tendrá algún teoría de pues sobre todo por qué a él elegieron, porque era por el político, estaba trabajando con un senador? ¿Fue por las políticas del senador o de tu padre mismo? ¿Cómo piensas?
Diana, although we know that officially no one knows who's responsible for killing your father, do you have a theory about why they might have killed him particularly? He was working for a particular senator. Was it because of that senator's politics? Was it because of his own politics? Or what was the case?
Mi padre era asesor de la senadora Pía Córdoba, pero tenía una trayectoria también política muy amplia. Había sido concejal, sindicalista, pero también era investigador. Nosotros como familia siempre consideramos que el crimen de mi padre fue un crimen político. Y hay tres hipótesis que no salieron de nuestra boca, sino de boca del Alto Comisionado para la Paz, con quien nos reunimos cuando estábamos buscando a mi padre. Y él hablaba de tres posibles actores paramilitares que se estarían reorganizando en el bloque capital en Bogotá, inteligencia del ejército o de la policía, o grupos de extrema derecha antichavistas. Pues nosotros como familia consideramos que quizás los viajes a Venezuela de mi padre haciendo campaña para el Senado de la República de Piedad Córdoba quizás influyeron en que fuera objetivo militar. Sin embargo, consideramos que le corresponde a la justicia colombiana identificar los móviles y los culpables.
So, my father was legal counsel for Piedad Córdoba, one of the senators in our country, but he himself had a very broad political presence as well. He had been a representative himself, but he was also a trade unionist and an investigator. And in my family, we've always felt that the crime against my father was essentially a political one. There are three theories which we did not put forth, but rather the peace commissioner whom we met with when we were searching for my father has put forth. He told us about three possible groups that could be responsible. Paramilitary operatives who are reorganizing in the capital, governmental or army intelligence, or perhaps even extreme right-wing anti-Chavez groups. So as a family, we feel that maybe the trips that my father took to Venezuela while working on the campaign for Senator Cordova might have caused him to become a military target. Nonetheless, we feel it is the responsibility of the Colombian government to identify the guilty parties and those responsible.
Mm-hmm. Y ya terminó las investigaciones, pone ya el Estado ha dicho que no podemos encontrar culpable y así lo dejaron.
And so that's it. I mean, the investigation is over. The state said they can't find out any more information and they can't figure out who's guilty, and that's just the end of it.
La verdad, no se ha cerrado la investigación, pero no han habido avances significativos. Incluso es espantoso que en casi un año y 10 meses después nos digan que tenemos que hacer de cuenta que hay que empezar de cero, que nos diga la entidad encargada de impartir justicia en Colombia. Pero pues también sentimos que es evidente que no hay voluntad de que se resuelva el caso y que en Colombia unos ciudadanos tienen más valor que otros. Entonces, el mismo fiscal o la misma unidad de fiscalía que lleva el caso de mi papá lleva el caso de Liliana Gaviria, que es la hermana de un expresidente de la República, y sobre este caso rápidamente se cogieron a los autores materiales e incluso pues tengo entendido que está muy avanzado quiénes serían los autores intelectuales.
So actually they haven't closed the investigation yet, but there haven't been any significant advances either. Honestly, it's horrifying that after a year and almost 10 months of investigation and they're now saying that we're going to have to start all over again from scratch, that we would get this from the body that's actually responsible for imparting justice throughout Colombia. It's ridiculous. But we can also feel that there's just no political will to solve the case. And we know that in Colombia, some citizens are more valuable than others. The attorney general himself, or his office anyway, has also been involved with the case of Liliana Gaviria, who was the sister of a former president of the Republic. And in that case, they've already identified the people who are immediately responsible for her disappearance. And I understand that that investigation is quite advanced and that they might even now have a good sense of who the intellectual authors, the responsible ones for the idea of the crime might also be as well.
Diana, antes de empezar la entrevista habíamos estado hablando y me dijo que todavía está intentando graduarse, terminar su tesis. Y entonces, ¿por qué pasa tiempo viajando hasta los Estados Unidos? ¿Cuál es el propósito de venir acá y compartir estas historias? ¿Qué podemos hacer nosotros con las historias que nos comparte?
So, Diana, before we began our interview here today on Esferio, we'd been talking and you had told me that you're still trying to graduate and finish your thesis. So why come to the United States? What is the point of coming here and telling your story? What can we do with the stories that you're sharing with us?
Este es un trabajo que hacemos como hijos e hijas de concientización nacional e internacional sobre la situación de Colombia. Consideramos que es importante que la opinión pública en el país y fuera de él esté informada de lo que sucede, de la dimensión compleja, real y completa del conflicto colombiano. Y consideramos que la comunidad internacional y Estados Unidos tiene un papel muy importante que jugar. La ciudadanía norteamericana puede, a través de los movimientos sociales, a través de diversas iniciativas, hacer que se reoriente la cooperación internacional con Colombia, que se invierta más el dinero en el aspecto social y no en la guerra. El Plan Colombia, que es, digamos, el plan que recibe dinero 100% de Estados Unidos, es un plan que está dirigido a la guerra. Colombia es el país del mundo que más invierte de su Producto Interno Bruto en la guerra. Consideramos que la cooperación internacional debe estar también destinada a las víctimas y no a los victimarios, que se deben fortalecer procesos sociales y organizativos. Y creemos, por ejemplo, que en Estados Unidos sería muy interesante también un movimiento que ayudara a deconstruir esa noción del terrorismo, porque creo que ha sido una noción que ha privilegiado y que ha sido el respaldo para profundizar la guerra en Colombia y no para tratar de solucionarla.
Mm-hmm. So, this is part of the work that we do as sons and daughters for memory and against impunity. It's a work of consciousness raising internationally about the situation in Colombia. We feel that it's important that public opinion within and outside of our country be aware of what's going on, the complex aspects of the conflict. We feel that the international community and American citizens especially has an important role to play. American citizens can change their own government's policy towards Colombia. For example, they can make their country invest their money differently in Colombia, more towards the social needs of the people and less towards the military. Plan Colombia is 100% funded by the United States, and it is entirely directed towards furthering the war. We know that Colombia is the second country in the world in terms of how much of its GDP it invests in its military. We feel that international funds should be directed to help the victims and their families, not just victimizers. And we feel that the United States really needs to be involved in helping to build a movement that fights the effects of the so-called war on terrorism, which ultimately has been used to further the war in Colombia. You've been listening to an interview with Diana Gomez, interviewed by Kendra Johnson en Español, and translated by yours truly, Amy Batistiache, here at Sferio, the local voice of your hemisphere. We've gone almost down to the 7 o'clock wire. I can't believe it, but there's still more of this interview that's on a bit of a different topic, so we'll save that for you for next week, and you can listen to that when you come and join us again on Friday from 6 to 7. As always, we can also be heard on the web at any time you so choose by going to wmbr.org. If you want to get in touch with us through the email world, you can also do that. We are sferio@wmbr.org. Si ustedes les gustó esta entrevista que hicimos con Diana Gómez, organizadora y activista en Colombia para los derechos humanos colombianos. Se puede escucharlo otra vez si quieren, o cualquier otro programa que hemos hecho en el internet. Lo ponemos en el sitio de web de la estación de radio wmbr.org y también en los archivos de MIT. We're also on the web.